Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. I'm your host, Jeffrey Wright. As always, you can listen to us on the radio dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM, but we're now streaming live on YouTube. We're streaming live on Twitch, and we are streaming live on the Everything app. You can also stream us audio only wise on the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen. The iHeartRadio app and the TuneIn Radio app. Sitting in for hour number four, he of course is the producer of the program. He's George Ruggiero. You can follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. How's it going?
Oh, it goes, my man. Glad to have our main man, Tim Murray, back with us on a Tuesday. He of course is the host of VSiN's College Football, College Basketball Betting Podcast. The VSiN College Football Betting Tailgate Show, Saturdays, 8 a.m. Central Time. Check your local listings. Also the host of VSiN Primetime, airing on weeknights. Download the VSiN Watch app. He's on the Everything app at one Tim Murray. Tim, good day, sir.
Hello. How are you?
I'm well. I'll only ask you this. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm okay. A bit bummed. man, you know what I realized? The people who have the vitriol for Notre Dame, they've just been like hiding for a couple years. Maybe because, you know, they made the run to the playoff or championship game, or Marcus Freeman's likable and Brian Kelly wasn't. But boy, once you give them the opportunity,
can I also throw out a third reason that I think a lot of people have kind of turned the corner on Notre Dame? They cover.
They do. Yeah. They've been getting you to cover town this year. So, but yeah, it's, I feel like I've done a good job the past 48 hours restraining myself on Twitter, not engaging on the bait, and just saying, hey, it is what it is. And we can get into it. I'm sure you discussed it at length yesterday on the program, but it sucks as a fan of that football program. And honestly, it sucks as a college football fan just in general, because I think they're a top four team, but the resume wasn't great. They lost to Miami head to head. And, you know, just we all need to remember that gutsy fourth down call against Auburn by Alabama.
Who could ever forget? Or going up 17-0 on the road. Yeah.
They didn't blow that lead.
No. They built that lead.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was gutsy. That was gutsy. Trumped all. Apparently, when the committee was asked to go rewatch Notre Dame Miami, because apparently, as a committee deciding who's going to go to the college football playoff, you have to rewatch something They didn't also rewatch what happened in week one in Tallahassee. That apparently never happened either. But it's a bummer. I actually have no issue with Miami getting in. They should have been ranked there on Tuesday as opposed to Sunday. But all in all, it stinks. But you move on.
All right, so we'll get into what we
saw. Also, Notre Dame's ruining football by not going to the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, my whole thing is two things can be true.
Well, I've got an overall... I got an overall thought on that, but we can get to that later.
Yeah, we can get to that. We'll start with some big picture questions, and we will discuss that here in a moment. We'll also get into our college football awards. Maybe this will kind of spur us into the discussion of what we'll see Saturday night at the artist formerly known as the Downtown Athletic Club. We'll get into the list. I guess Philip Rivers didn't want to go into the Hall of Fame.
Can you be on a practice squad and still be eligible, or has he officially got to push it back now 5 years?
That's a good question. So maybe we should look that up. Oh, George is chiming in.
I want to say some folks have already done the digging. He actually has to hit the active roster.
Okay, but the fact that they're signing into the practice squad, like, to me, he's playing.
Oh, yeah. Riley Leonard is, what is it, a PCL sprain that he's dealing with?
I mean, Riley without a knee is still, but Riley.
I mean, he's such a prolific passer.
Yeah, I mean, Riley honestly wasn't that bad last week, but at the same time, it's like, it looks exactly like kind of what you would expect. So we'll discuss that during the list. Got a huge night at college hoops. Allegedly, we have a bowl game on Saturday, so we'll discuss that. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But I think I wanted to start first. I'm asking this as an exploratory question. I'm not making this as a statement. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Was this the worst college football playoff committee ever? Here would be my case. You ready? We had to have a commissioner or a chairperson step down in the midst of a scandal. Now, the scandal was not related to the college football playoff committee, but it was a scandal related to his own program. Mark Rhodes had to step down. We then had the terrible 6-7 joke a couple of weeks ago. We also had some all-time bad logic. As the aforementioned, like, listen, this committee is always going to have bad logic because they're always just going to have to essentially defend sometimes what is indefensible. So, like, I kind of give them a pass on that. But the 17-point lead, building a 17-point lead at Auburn, that was an all-timer. Then on Saturday night, we learned from Heather Dinich that the committee stayed up till 2:30 Central time in the morning on Sunday. And to your point, my first question was why? Secondly, we then learned it was so that they could all together watch the Notre Dame Miami game. And I guess to a certain degree, you could make the argument, well, that is doing your homework, but shouldn't they have been watching that game when it, I don't know, happened? So
and shouldn't you have revisited that through the whole process? Like the process was a disaster. And I get it. Everybody wants to take their digs at Notre Dame, and here comes a Notre Dame fan to defend Notre Dame. I will continue to state what I've always stated. I have zero issue with Miami getting in over Notre Dame. To be honest, as a football fan, I'm actually happy they got in over Notre Dame because the games do have to matter. But you told us for 5 weeks that game didn't matter, that they weren't that close. And then you also told us on Tuesday that the real discussion was Notre Dame versus Alabama, how close they were. Well, the problem with that from last Tuesday when Alabama jumped Notre Dame because of their win over Auburn, they played another game. Alabama got absolutely annihilated. And for the first time in, what, 5 years, a team didn't drop for losing a championship game?
I believe it's the first time since the advent of the playoff committee, it is the first time that a school has not at least dropped a spot.
I thought TCU didn't drop a spot when they lost in overtime to Kansas State. I could be wrong.
Let me double check. I thought they at least dropped down to, they did not drop out, but I thought they dropped down.
No, they didn't drop out. Regardless, that is why, and I think, you know, I listened to Notre Dame's AD have a press conference today, and that's ultimately what they were the most frustrated with, is for 5 weeks, you told them they were in. They won every game by double digits and in pretty dominant fashion. And I think for me, Jeffrey, the one that really sticks with me the most is that on Tuesday, the penultimate rankings, Miami was two spots behind Notre Dame. And we were told that the real discussion was Notre Dame, Alabama, not Notre Dame, Miami. And then when Yurchek got back to the Reese Davis seat, he said, well, you know, all that game that you guys kept talking about. Yeah, no bleep. It happened. It was a massive game. It was one of the highest rated games, I believe, of the college football season. You didn't hear about it in week one? Like, it was mind-boggling how this committee went about their business. And if you're not going to, I mean, if you're not going to punish Bama, then how do you not punish, how do you punish BYU? And, you know, it is what it is. I don't think Alabama should be in the playoff, but I get how people are going to say, if you punish Alabama for losing the SEC championship, what's the point of the SEC championship? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I tend
you can't
to
look that bad though, man.
I tend to agree with you on Saturday, but I guess this is kind of where I was. Like, I just accepted that Alabama was not going to get punished for that game because in the end they were still going to have the best win pretty much of the year. Because even though Indiana's win over Ohio State is obviously the only win over Ohio State this season, it's on the road in Athens. Like, they weren't going to get punished for that. But to me, it was,
and they beat Vanderbilt. It's a good, very good win.
Yeah, I mean, they gave Vanderbilt their only double digit loss of the season, thanks to a comeback. But I did agree with you. If we were in a situation where there were three teams vying for two spots, I thought the team that has looked the worst the last month has been Alabama. Now, I guess they could also say they probably didn't give the logic, but the expectation would be Jam Miller would be back, and that is obviously a different football team with Jam Miller than without. But I tended to agree with you that I thought the two teams that I thought were playing better were Notre Dame and Miami. With that said, like, I also kind of just accepted that the SEC was not going to let that happen after what quote-unquote happened to them last year, where, God forbid, they only got three teams in. But I was starting to kind of think about it in these terms. Is there a bigger picture issue at Notre Dame? And I'm not the guy that's trying to ruffle your feathers and say get into a conference.
No, that's
fine. But here would be my argument.
Okay.
Now that we're moving into the universe where the SEC is going to play non-conference games, and we already know the Big Ten plays non-conference games, and the scheduling agreement for the ACC has not exactly been a win for Notre Dame, because for the most part, it fills out a bulk of their schedule, and we're just sitting there going like, huh. So I feel like what's going to happen is, even when you can schedule those good out-of-conference games, they're likely going to be early in the calendar. And maybe you have a situation like this year where you're going down to Miami and you're breaking in a brand new quarterback. And not only, I understand Miami was quote-unquote breaking in a new quarterback too, but that guy's played a heck of a lot of snaps.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Whereas C.J. Carr has not really played any significant college football action, and you're just kind of trying to manage the game. And so if you're Notre Dame and you understand these marquee opportunities are only going to come early in the calendar, does that, and maybe, I also think this is true, they'll never admit it, but I do think it was a lot easier to have Notre Dame be upset with you than have the entire conferences that run the whole thing upset with you.
Yeah, I think that's certainly a fair point to make. And to the Notre Dame scheduling front, look, Notre Dame has a lot of blame in this. Don't lose two games, right?
Catch the freaking snap.
Catch the snap. SEC refs call a blatant hold. I don't know.
And I will say this. As someone who has watched SEC football his whole life, I am more convinced that is just incompetence rather than actual. By the way, I believe that crew was the SEC championship crew, by the way.
So I don't want to sit here and for people who are just rolling their eyes and saying, of course you're going to defend Notre Dame. Oh, they got plenty of blame. Don't lose two games. Don't lose arguably your two biggest games, right? Miami and Texas A&M, USC, they were able to win, but it ended up being more important that you won one of those first two games. I think it is a fair question to ask. And I do wonder, it was, and once again, this is maybe tinfoil hat stuff that I'm getting into. Listening to Pete Bavakwa, excuse me, the AD today for Notre Dame, he mentioned one conference commissioner by name, Greg Sankey. I do think there is something to be said that the SEC would be interested in doing some sort of agreement with Notre Dame. And here's the why. The SEC is in bed with ESPN. The Big Ten is not. Where would Notre Dame ideally prefer? If Notre Dame joined a conference tomorrow, full-time,
Big
where
Ten.
Would they go? Big Ten, no doubt, right? So,
I mean, unless they really do institutionally, like this would be honestly.
And I'll say this though. They're not joining a conference tomorrow.
No.
I'm just saying, hypothetically, if they were to join a conference.
Unless they wanted to actually honor history and say, you know what? We wanted to be in that league 100 years ago. You had the anti-Catholic sentiment. You held it against us. That's why we went independent. Screw you. We're not going to cash your checks. We'll go do business with the folks down south. Again, I think it's highly unlikely, but like, okay, you know what I mean?
I do think from a scheduling standpoint, there would be some advantages for the SEC, maybe not to do what the ACC has done, but to encourage some of their programs, which they have. Auburn has a home and home with Notre Dame in the future. Alabama has a home and home with Notre Dame. Florida has a home and home with Notre Dame, all within the next decade, right? So I do think there might be some advantages.
Okay, so I guess this is my point. I'm not necessarily – because I'm not in this camp. The SEC won't schedule them. They had two SEC teams on the schedule. Now, one team ended up not being good in Arkansas. But like when these games get scheduled, who the heck knows? You know what I mean? Like, and then A&M scheduled. The problem, though, that I see is that Notre Dame winds up in this spot where these schools are willing to play them much like USC, but they want to play them early. And that's where I think Notre Dame starts to get hurt a little bit, because even though we say recency bias doesn't matter, okay, come on.
I think they're going down to Auburn in October, if I remember correctly. But your point is valid. It is challenging to schedule someone in November. They have Miami in November next year, but that's part of the ACC agreement. So I do think the point is valid that scheduling somebody in the month of November is going to be more challenging than it would be in September or maybe even early October. So that's something they have to weigh and moving forward. I do think, and my hope is that if we get to 16 teams, which seems inevitable, and the fact that Notre Dame or Miami getting in over Notre Dame, hopefully people recognize that these non-conference games are good for the sport and it can help you, right? I do think it would have been a bad precedent to set if Miami did get left out versus Notre Dame with the same record, almost identical numbers across the board, and the head-to-head didn't matter. I know Texas is not thrilled. What did we gain from losing to Ohio State? Okay, but what would you have gained if you had won that game?
By the way, there's a 10-2 team sitting at home from the SEC.
Right. So, it is a fair question, and I think Notre Dame, once again, you look at their schedule next year, and did they know that Wisconsin was going to stink in 2026? No, but unfortunately, that's the way it's certainly looking, right, heading into that.
I mean, I guess we have to leave some room for institutional improvement if indeed the case that they're presenting, which is they were not invested the right way you should have been in NIL in terms of the roster. If they are going to get that fixed next year, presumably Wisconsin could be one of the teams that you could say could be better next year. Do I think that Wisconsin is going to contend for the Big Ten? No, but we could be at least be talking about a bowl team.
And I know Bud Elliott was kind of going on a rampage talking about, you know, the schedule that they have. Look, at the end of the day, they scheduled 10 Power 5 teams or Power 4 teams, and the two G5 teams they played went a collective, I think, 18-4, 18-5, something like that, in Boise State and Navy. But there wasn't a lot of meat on the bone, and that's fair. Their schedule strength, I think, was slightly better than Miami's. I think it was 42nd. I think also the ACC just stinks. Like, it's
The next point that I had was, I think the thing that always drives me the most insane is when I feel like we have misappropriate or misdirected anger. And I understand, to your point, Notre Dame is going to make certain people online feel a certain way, and Alabama is going to do the exact same to others. Totally agree. Totally understand that. I still felt like I was the only sane person in a room full of crazies yelling, "This is the ACC's fault.
Oh,
why are we looking for the villain? Why are we looking for the killer? It is their fault. They created a situation where we allowed a five-loss team to have the opportunity to win a conference championship game." Because the irony of all this is everyone talking about get the G6 out of here. James Madison did absolutely nothing other than play their schedule. And the irony to me was, in the end, what got everyone? The own bylaws that they wrote.
I tweeted out, and I know you're currently not on that
correct
site. On a week ago today, I tweeted this out. If the ACC used the same tiebreaker as the American, the ACC championship game would have been Virginia versus Miami. And guess what? They would have played a football game. If Miami would have lost, that would have been their third loss. Well, sorry, Miami, you're out.
And you had a chance to play your way in.
And if you win, Notre Dame's in. The ACC, I agree 1,000%, is somehow avoiding a lot of scrutiny, maybe because Notre Dame has kind of gone scorched earth and is, you know, pointing their fingers at the ACC, which actually I'll read something Pete Bavakwa said today that I thought was hilarious that no one seems to bring up when they're saying that Notre Dame is getting this sweetheart deal from the ACC. Yeah, okay, that's how finances work.
I definitely know who's getting the good end of that deal.
Yeah, it's the ACC.
It's not the University of Notre Dame.
Correct. But the ACC, if they didn't have this moronic tiebreaker, we might be sitting here today with a really good playoff and Miami, Notre Dame, and Alabama in this thing.
And that's kind of where I want to go next with you, because I don't want to come across as, listen, I think two things can be true. I think they don't play the same sport. I'm totally fine with the G6 having access. I don't have a fundamental problem with that. I do think the risk that you run is when you have this situation where you have allowed one of your conferences that you were depending on to at least give you a champion with fewer than five losses. If we're now going to have, like this year, I thought we could have realistically had three good games, one blowout in at least on paper heading into week one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now what we're likely to have is two good games and two blowouts that will be on TNT. I do worry about the more you keep having these matchups that we wouldn't even be talking about on a given week as a playoff game. I understand blowouts happen. Like, as I mentioned previously,
happened with Tennessee and Ohio State.
Last year. Think about this on Super Wild Card Weekend presented by Verizon Wireless. Thanks be to the commish. We have NFL blowouts all the time in that weekend. Like, that's not uncommon. And that's the NFL, where the rosters are significantly more similar. But I do think if you're going to have this situation where, all right, this opening weekend, which is supposed to be kind of your kickoff to your playoff, and essentially you're going to be praying for one good game, I do think that's a problem long term.
I do too. And I also think, how are you so short-sighted in creating this playoff? The G5, or G6 now, they're going to go along with anything that you say. And what you had to do is just say, there's five auto bids, the four Power Four conferences, and the G5. Why did you feel like it was necessary to say just the top five conferences? Because you really didn't think this could happen?
So
happened last year with the Big 12.
I'm almost a little unclear on this. So the timeline that I have in my memory was they first developed this 12-team playoff. It was Sankey. Was Petitti there at the time?
I think so.
Petitti, Swarbrick, who was the athletic director at Notre Dame at the time, the old Mountain West AD, and I can't remember who else was in there. Oh, and I think Bowlesby was actually in there, the Big 12 guy. And originally, because I think you and I were talking about it on the show, like when this proposal came up, we were almost confused because we're like, this is good. And then, of course, we have Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC, and then that formed the alliance. And essentially, at that point, the ACC, the Big 12, and the Big 10 allowed them to kind of go along with this, the Pac-12, while they went and raided behind the scenes and killed that conference. But they allowed all of that to essentially distract the public. Did they just take the old format that they originally had come up with, which was five conference champions when there still would have been a Pac-12?
Yeah, I think they just, once the Pac-12 got dissolved, didn't they just say it became five auto bids, so they just dropped the one?
And see, like, that's where I'm unclear, because I don't know. The only thing that I can think of is, well, the reason why it's worded the way that it is some type of legal argument.
I do find it funny how we move the goalposts every year with everything. And just looking at college football, remember the discussion, and I give us credit, because there was a discussion early on last season when you and I knew it, but there was some dope on Twitter saying, wait, Notre Dame can't get a bye? Why would they agree to this?
Well, they wrote it.
And we're like, the AD was in there. And then the bracket came out. Notre Dame got a home game against Indiana. And everyone was like, man, Notre Dame, what a great deal. Like, you morons. You knew this all along. And also, going back to the short-sightedness of the auto bids just being the five highest conference champions, how did you not see this coming? It's like last year. How did you not see the possibility of the G5 team getting the auto getting the bye? And as soon as that happened, it was like, well, this can't happen again. We got to scrap this. And they did. And I think for the right, for the proper way, now Indiana and Ohio State both get byes. They deserve both to have first-round byes. But how did you not see the possibility of this coming in mega conferences with outdated tiebreaker rules that this could ultimately come about? And I do wonder, because I was asked this today, Jeffrey, on a show, what changes are coming next year for the playoff? And I said, I don't know if there's anything coming necessarily for the playoff, but I do think conferences are now going to recognize what the American did with their tiebreak scenario and say it benefits us as a conference to have the highest ranked teams play each other in the championship game, if that's the way it breaks out, because of these mega conferences and these teams not playing each other. And that's the situation we fell into in the ACC, where a 6-2 Duke team who did not beat one team in conference play with an above 500 record. Their best win was Wake Forest at 4-4, or Cal at 4-4. They lost to UVA, they lost to Georgia Tech, but yet for some odd reason, they won a five-way tiebreaker, and of course, they won the championship.
So I think the only other, I do think you're right. I think there's going to be protections in place in the event of these massive. I do think the SEC adding the ninth game, I do think the ACC appearing to follow suit and adding the ninth game will probably help. Because another big problem is, in the ACC, you were playing eight games with 17 schools. So, like, that was always going to be a problem. At least, like, with the SEC, it's 8-16. Like, there haven't been that big of controversies that the in terms of sending the participants to the championship game. I do suspect there's going to be some type of protection written in. I don't think they can do the you have to be ranked so-and-so because that's going to be too easily manipulated. Like, let's say, like, oh, you have to be a top 20 team. It's like, well, Memphis got ranked 21 for the seventh straight week. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that feels like that would be tough. I think the other question, though, is, how much are, I guess this is kind of the other thing I'll look at it. All right, we've had 2 years of data on this. Last year, I think you'd agree with me, it was not easy to fill out a 12-team bracket because we didn't have enough teams. Agreed?
Correct.
This year, it was the flip side. Mm-hmm. I think we realistically, so if we include 11 with Notre Dame, Texas, BYU, and Vandy, are you good there?
Yeah.
So we had 14 really playing for what should have been 11, but we really had 14 playing for 10 because of the ACC. I also worry about wildly overreacting based on one particular year. Like, I actually thought the changes we made to it this year were better, but you also saw the byproduct of it, which was a pretty low-stakes championship week. Now, I think that that's where this is headed anyway. I think the championship games are a bygone era, but I don't know. Like, I just hope that I think the 12 team thing works because, yeah, it sucks for Notre Dame. And I'm not trying to like pat Notre Dame fans on the head, but like it also does go to show like there were things Notre Dame could have done to get in. There were things that Vandy could have done to get in. There were things that Texas could have done to get in. And I know everyone always wants to point, what if we played their schedule? That's the way it's going to work forever. Like, the New England Patriots are 11-2. Are they the best team in the NFL? I don't think so. Are they the best team in the AFC? I don't think so. But guess what? They're 11-2 because their schedule is broken their way.
And I think ultimately, and the AD for Notre Dame said it as much today, the process is what got them all upset.
Yeah, I think this is the other problem. I understand, because you and I talked about it, the day that the rankings came out, if you looked at someone that reverse engineered the BCS standings, they were pretty similar. That is also an example where someone in the room should have been like, hey guys, we got two teams that have the same record, and I get it, one's playing a lot better than the other, but they've played, and we got one ranked 18th and we got one ranked 10th. That's a problem.
They backed themselves into a corner by the first rankings. And I do wonder if Kirk Herbstreit got a little call on Sunday being like, dude, did you really just say that we shouldn't have these television shows? Because that's what it
boils... More on him in the awards, by the way.
That's what it boils down to, is these television shows led to this problem. If we showed up on Selection Sunday and Miami was ahead of Notre Dame and we had really no pretense otherwise, I don't think it would have been that big of an uproar.
No, I actually said if you would not have seen any of the previous rankings and they would have given you the ranking sheet, you could have done exactly what you and I said. Like, are you and I super pumped that Bama, the way that they're playing, is in right now? No. But if you would have looked at the rankings, you'd have been like, okay, I get that.
Yeah, because Notre Dame's 11, Miami's 10. They have, as I mentioned, pretty identical numbers. Notre Dame's better in most of the analytical markets, but not by a long stretch. And that's why I never really understood the argument or the point that the committee made all along. And that's what got Chris Felica and Bruce Feldman and Ari Wasserman and all these people all fired up, because they just kept saying Notre Dame's that much better than Miami when the metrics didn't really say so. And they played a game and Miami won 27-24 in the first week of the season. I think everybody is freaking out, and we could talk more about this later if you want, about the bowl game. I have stated it multiple times. If on Tuesday Miami was ahead against Notre Dame in the final rankings for those two teams, but their season was over and there were no more data points to add because neither were playing this past weekend, Notre Dame would be playing in a bowl game. If BYU beat Texas Tech on Saturday, and that pushed out Notre Dame and Miami, Notre Dame would be playing in a bowl game. The reason they're not playing in a bowl game is because everything they had been told for 5 weeks, including 5 days prior, said, you're going to be in. We have set the precedent that Notre Dame and Miami are not on the same playing field according to our eyeballs and our metrics. And by the way, as cool as it is to eat a live Pop-Tart, it ain't the Orange Bowl. It ain't the Fiesta Bowl. Let's pump the bleeping brakes, people. It's a bowl game on December 27th in Orlando where you get to eat a Pop-Tart after the game.
No, my only problem with it was the duplicity. I understand why Notre Dame wants to take their ball and go home. Why? This whole thing is an ESPN operation. Why do we want to go help out ESPN? The only thing that bothered me is Bavakwa acting like the players came to that agreement. It's like, players don't think like that. That's how executives and administrators think, which is fine. Like,
can I give you my conspiracy theory on this?
Yeah, go ahead.
So Bavakwa said today that the players told the coaches they didn't want to play in the bowl game. And there are 18 to 22-year-olds who thought all along we're about to go play for a national championship and maybe win a national championship. And as the adults, you have to say, this is a brash decision. You're overreacting. But I think, and this is just my 2 cents, I think when the players came to the coaches, and then I assume Marcus Freeman went to the AD and said, hey, they don't want to play in the bowl game. He probably, in the back of his mind, said, you know what? This would be a nice little jab to the ribs of ESPN and the ACC to not fill one of their bowl games. So, okay, I'm good with it.
I agree with you. There is something
to be said about the ESPN, ACC factor and them saying middle fingers in the air. I don't think the players wanted to play in it, though. But the question is, did they want to play in it come today, right? Are they now sitting at home being like, you know what, kind of wanted to play one more football game.
Well, it also shows me that Notre Dame NIL deals are not bowl game included. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the week that was with the awards. We do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM. Yes.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It appears the Indianapolis Colts have solved their quarterback issues by turning back the clock. We will have a grandfather perhaps starting on Sunday. I'm sure you won't hear about that. But before we get into any of that, let's get into the week that was championship week with the College Football Weekly Awards. In my mind, there are really only two candidates for Team of the Week. Who are you giving it to, Tim?
Georgia.
Dang it.
Dominant. Just absolute
domination. Felt like an exorcism, didn't it?
I mean, it's funny because I bet Georgia, and I was sitting there on Saturday doing the tailgate show, which you can catch 8 to 11 a.m. Central Time on VSiN. And I felt pretty good about Georgia, and I saw the market come in on Alabama. A couple people that I respect talked up Alabama, and I'm like, what am I missing here? I don't fully understand. Like, is it solely off of Bobo being injured? I'm not saying that. That's a big loss. But, I mean, that Alabama offense, once again, I'm not trying to keep this playoff discussion going. And they'll probably win next week because that's college football for you. But man, that Alabama offense could not do anything against them, man.
Well, I think the bigger question was, like, obviously Bobo was an issue because if you saw, like, when they tried to come out and kind of do a little bit more of, like, the deep passing game, mm-hmm. and they got just lit up. Like, I thought for a while we were really, like, going old school SEC, like a 9-6 game of the year. But then when they started going quick game, okay, they were able to minimize the issues they were having at center. But it almost felt like everyone overlooked the loss of Jam Miller for Alabama.
I mean, they don't have a run game really with Jam Miller. And without him, and that was, you know, when he was ruled out on Saturday morning, I'm like, this more solidifies my side on Georgia, and yet
the line went the other way.
The line didn't move. The line closed like 1.5. You know, I felt like, you know, my first bet of the week was Georgia on the money line, and then the money line went up. And I was like, all right, I'm on the right side. Yay. Closing line value, the most important thing. And then it came in against me, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? So I give all credit to Georgia. You know, I know we've spent plenty of time, the collective we, talking about Alabama. Do they deserve to be in? Do they not deserve to be in? Georgia is playing their best football right now, and the loss of Bobo, we'll see how significant it is. But, you know, for them to get Ole Miss in the quarterfinals, I think they're okay with that matchup. And then, you know, we'll see if it is them and Ohio State in a semifinal. That's going to be a lot of fun, man.
All right, so then I guess I'll give my team of the week to Indiana. I'll say what impressed me the most about Indiana, and I don't know how you felt, that is a phenomenal tackling team. Like, there were several moments in that game where I felt like Ohio State was really close to just kind of busting one of those runs. And then at the last second, you'd see some guy come in and make like a, you know, he's a little bit out of position, comes in and makes a great tackle and like holds it to a gain of 7. And despite the fact that maybe their defensive line is not like the most imposing, they get after the quarterback. I thought they did a great job of really, really causing problems for Saiyan, just kind of speeding him up. And then I give all their linebackers credit because essentially what Indiana's defensive game plan was we're taking away all the over-the-top stuff, and we're telling our backers, drop deep, come up and make the tackle, and we're going to make you check it down the whole length of the field. And they executed it to perfection. Like, I left being very impressed with them defensively.
There's not a lot of negative things you could say about Indiana right now. Obviously, they're very well coached. They were very prepared for that game. I have questions about the maybe explosiveness in the offense. But that all being said, man, like, yeah, it was very bend don't breaky type of deal, right?
Where it was very much like what we see in the NFL now, where it's like, keep everything in front of you and make them kick field goals.
Yeah. And Ohio State's kicker missed a 20-some-odd yarder that would have maybe forced overtime. Who knows? Indiana might go down and score. But I am so curious to see Indiana taking on Alabama or Oklahoma. That's going to be what feels like an absolute grinder at the Rose Bowl. And then whoever emerges out of that 4-5 portion of the bracket, is it going to be a rematch with Oregon or is it going to be Texas Tech? I think the semifinal there for Indiana. And can I just, I hate keep going back to it. On Sunday morning, it looked like Notre Dame was going to be the 9 seed. They were a 5.5-point favorite at FanDuel, and they put out lines. Indiana probably would have been like a 2-point favorite in the Rose Bowl. And now they'll more than likely be around a touchdown.
I kind of hope Alabama figures it out next week in Norman, because,
I think,
man, Indiana, Oklahoma feels like that could just be a disgusting game to watch.
I think Indiana would win that. I think Alabama, if they can figure it out, I'm assuming Jam will get healthy by the Oklahoma game. I did bet Alabama, by the way. Because I there's part of me, you know, you think back to the game they played in November and how fortunate Oklahoma was to win that game. And then there's a second part of me is that it's almost the Ohio State theory from a year ago where we spent 3 weeks talking crap about Ohio State and how they're not any good and how Ryan Day should be fired and they're morons for losing to Michigan. And then they went out and absolutely lambasted Tennessee. I don't anticipate that, but I do think Alabama wins next Friday night.
No, I'm with you. There's like the question of, was their last performance just a bad game, or are they yelling at us like what they actually are? And so
what is Oklahoma too, right?
I mean, totally agree with you.
If there's not a busted coverage in the secondary against LSU, they might lose to LSU.
I think that's where that was headed. All right, Heisman winner of the week. So I'm making this a little bit personal. I'm going with Charlie Becker. So Charlie was the guy that caught the big passes for Indiana. Charlie is from Nashville. He played at Father Ryan. And the last time that I saw him play, he was a senior. And in the first quarter of a high school football game, he had 3 catches for 127 yards. And that's only because that was about as far as he could have gone. He had a 67-yard touchdown grab, a 29-yard touchdown grab, and then he had another 40-yarder that he had to go up over the top, make a one-handed grab, and he fell to the ground. And so it made me feel a little better knowing that my beloved Owls couldn't cover him the last time I saw him, and then also seeing, well, Ohio State couldn't cover him either.
Can I cheat and say Georgia's defense?
Yeah,
I guess I already gave my team of the week to Georgia, so I should diversify that a little bit. He's not the Heisman of the week, but I really like watching this dude play football. Reggie Virgil, the wide receiver for Texas Tech, he's a lot of fun, man. He was playing in the MAC last year. Like, and I'll say this:
the MAC was playing in the NFL last night.
Yes, they were.
That was some real midweek action last night.
Ooh, buddy, that was Jalen Hurts. Yowzers. My son was watching the Monsters, Inc. version, and it was very confused. He's like, what is happening? The Monsters, Inc. version was, like, broken because of all the turnovers.
Well, and then
night.
The other thing is, the whole time I'm trying to figure out, like, who actually was Sully? Like, who was, like, I was trying to figure out, like, who scored? Because, like, my daughter wanted to watch it, and I was like, I need to know. Daddy needs to know for fantasy reasons. Like, was that Ladd McConkey? Like, I need to know.
I really want Texas Tech, Oregon. And we're going to get it. Oregon's not going to lose. I think Oregon bulldozes James Madison. But I think Texas Tech, Oregon, man, that's going to be awesome.
All right, so dumpster fire of the week. I'm going with College Game Day's insistence that they're not compromised. Like, the whole thing on Sunday of they felt like because they've been coming under fire because people have done the connection that almost everyone on the stage is a CAA client. And then they were trying to explain how they're not compromised the entire time. You're like, you're compromised. Just let it go, man. Like, just preview the day. Like, it came across as so the lady doth protest too much. Like, I did not feel like anyone helped their case.
So, admittedly, I'm on the air during that, so I,
correct.
I did not see that. I did find it very off-putting, Herb Street. And it's just the way that it unfolds during these games where BYU's getting smoked, so let's turn to Jesse Palmer and Joe Tess, and let's talk the playoff, and let's say that Notre Dame shouldn't be in. And then it's Herb Street, while Alabama has negative rushing yards in the game. Well, you know, you can't punish them because they beat Georgia, but you could punish BYU because they got swept by Texas Tech. It's like, all right, buddy, all right, we get it. You know, we know where the bread is buttered. So, I mean, look, I've gone to the well too much on Alabama, Georgia for the dumpster fire here. Can I say James Madison?
Yeah, because if Goose doesn't get knocked out of that game, I mean, weren't they about to get the ball back to take the lead?
I mean, that score, if you didn't watch it on Friday night, is wildly misleading. That is not a 3-score win for James Madison. They got a scoop and score late. Now, you could say Wayne Knight was
the best player on the field, which he was.
The Heisman Trophy winner this weekend. I would listen to it. He was awesome. That dude's a badass. Like, he was great in the game. You were playing a middling Sun Belt team, and you were up by 3 at home in the frigid temperatures. By the way, I'll save that for later in the awards here. I go back to your initial point in the first portion of this show. James Madison has done nothing wrong. Zippy. They went 12-1. They won their conference. They got in. Sorry, not sorry. They did not play well on Friday night.
And by the way, they got in not behind that, like, some, you know, everyman media campaign, whatnot. Like, they got in because literally the ACC champion has 5 losses.
Because the ACC did...
It wasn't like Kevin, politicking, you know what I mean?
The ACC did what Kevin did with the big vat of chili.
Yes.
Drop the chili.
Correct.
Right? Like, that's the ACC. You're to blame. But I was not impressed, and that's why. You know me. I don't lay numbers. Almost ever. My first bet was Oregon -21.
Yeah. I feel pretty good about that. All right. Most college football moment of the week. I direct you to the Mountain West Championship game. 4th-and-2 from the UNL 40 with 11:48 remaining, I believe, here in the fourth quarter. Maddox Mattson incomplete to Latrell Capels. For those that don't know, why is this the most college football moment of the week? UNLV decided to, or I beg your pardon, Boise decides, like, all right, we're going to go take the knockout punch. They run, like, the quick huddle, and they're basically going to fake, like, a big run play and sneak the tight end completely, like, up the field. There was no one within 40 yards of Capels, and he just fell down. And, like, that's the stuff that you just see in college football. Like, by the way, I'm not sure that Madison wasn't going to overthrow him anyway, but it certainly...
It did feel like the throw, like...
It went way too far past, you know what I mean?
I know, I was like, would he have completed that?
Now, granted, Capels is a big man, but, like, it did feel like the pass went way too far beyond where, like, even he tripped. Just a good old-fashioned sniper situation.
The most college football moment of the weekend, go back to Harrisonburg, Virginia. Pelting the opposition with snowballs.
Yep. And then having the athletic director have to get on the microphone and yell at the students.
Just classic. Well done. JMU, by the way, for those unaware, fantastic party school. So I am sure the students were feeling very good in that frigid temperature. But yes, the pelting... I mean, I noticed it early on. I'm like, are they throwing snowballs at the punter right now? That seems like it can't be legal.
Well, it's also, it was like,
every time they kept panning that student section, you're like, oh, yeah, they are ready to go. Like, they showed up and showed out, if you will. Like, I would imagine there were a lot of fallen soldiers there at halftime. Like, that certainly felt like that.
I want to go back real quickly because, you know, the Mountain West game is kind of inconsequential, right? The winner gets to go to, you know, the Gronk Bowl on Saturday night against Washington, and that's Boise State. It was wild to me, and I live out here. I watch the Mountain West way too much. It was astonishing to me how many people thought UNLV was going to win that game.
Well, especially because I think you and I talked about this. This line earlier in the year was, I think, Boise 13 or 14?
Boise closed as a 13-point favorite in the middle of October, won 56-31.
And by the way, I think that game was either tied or within like 4 points at the half. Now, Madsen had been out, but Madsen was coming back.
He came back, and it was like, you do realize he's coming back. They're at home, and this number is 7 points off from where it was 6 or 7 weeks ago.
You could be on the committee.
I know.
You'd be the chair of the committee.
I'm cool.
Yeah. By the way, it's not the Gronk Bowl, by the way. It's the Bucked Up L.A. Bowl. Come on.
I thought Gronk was involved.
He was, I think, last year. I think this is like the one where Kimmel was in there. Kimmel,
it used to be the Kimmel Bowl, then it went to the Gronk Bowl. I don't know, whatever. But yeah, I was surprised. That was another one. I'm like, I'm pretty confident Boise State here. I'm like, okay. And then they played the game. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Boise State just has UNLV's number.
Yeah, they can just run it, and UNLV can do nothing about it. All right, stock up. I'm saying the playoff in general because I thought going into Saturday, especially like during warmups when you heard the entire Fox desk talking about the difference in athlete between Ohio State and Indiana, I thought there was a decent chance that we were going to come in and be like, man, Ohio State feels inevitable. Now, they're still, I think, the rightful favorite as we head in because I think there were a lot of things that happened in that game. Like they were clearly still hungover from the Michigan game and they were horrible in situational football, and all credit to Indiana. Like, Indiana was better on third downs. Indiana was better in the red zone. All things that you have to do to win a close game, Indiana was better in. But I did think, like, this was good for us to go. I don't think the gap between them, at least as we head into next week, I don't feel like the gap is maybe quite as wide as it could have been.
I'll listen to it. I'm not going to push back too much. I'm looking forward to the quarterfinals, and
the quarters and the semis. I think we have some banger of semis too.
I think the semifinals could be all time.
Yep.
I really do. I mean, I know we could get a rematch of Oregon and Indiana. I don't want to say it's going to go differently because Indiana deserved to win at Autzen, but I think that's going to be an awesome game. But yeah, I think the quarters, like I mentioned already, Oregon, Texas Tech, noon Eastern, 11 Central, to start your New Year's Day, like that's really good.
No, with you. When I saw the bracket, the first thing I was thinking was like, man, the Final Four could be awesome.
I'm concerned about Ole Miss in the Sugar Bowl against Georgia, but we'll get there when we get there.
I'm saying the Final Four, not the quarters.
Yeah, the Final Four, I think.
No, I definitely. No, but I was saying, like, in terms of, you know, even if it's to your point, like, I don't care if it's Oregon or Texas Tech, but, like, if they go up against Indiana, I think that's going to be another good game. And then I think if Ohio State and Georgia get matched up, like.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.